When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
And I'm Ben. We are here with our super producer, Noel Brown. And most importantly, here with you listening wherever you are, whatever you're doing, which now that I say it, Matt, creeps me out a little.
Yeah, they can hear everything you're saying.
Right, and we don't know what you guys are doing out there. Are you driving a car?
Oh, man, we shouldn't get into that. There could be some dark stuff.
Are you dragging a body-sized garbage bag behind you?
I can only imagine that something like that is happening, and we are just somehow manifesting it by even saying it.
Oh, yeah, let's put some positive stuff in there, too. Did you just finish running a mile faster than you ever thought you could, or a kilometer faster than you ever thought you could?
Congratulations on that.
Congratulations. Are you working out? Did you get to that last set? Are you dozing gently? Maybe drinking some booze, maybe having a cup of tea before.
Are you giving your dog the spring/summer shave right now? Is that what you're doing? Because mm-hmm. You needed to have something while you were doing that?
Yeah. Are you on the way to a job interview that might be your dream job or something?
Well, hopefully you're not doing that and listening to this. Hopefully you're preparing mentally. Unless this is how you do that. Maybe it is. I don't know.
We don't know what the dream job is, but ladies and gentlemen, Matt, Noel, and I are here today looking for a little bit of levity here, wanting to be positive. And, you know, often humor can be a defense mechanism. I can't remember who said it, Matt, but you've heard that quotation before, that humor is tragedy with a scab. You know, or tragedy plus time equals comedy.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Gary Larson had one of my favorite quotes about humor, or the relationship between tragedy and humor, where he said, tragedy is when I cut my finger. Humor is when you walk into an open sewer and die. And he was being tongue in cheek, of course. Gary Larson is an amazing person. And I love The Far Side. But the reason we are looking for some of that levity is that today we're exploring a couple of interrelated subjects that are a matter of great debate across the planet.
Yes. And in this particular case, there is a lot of history and emotion that's bottled up in this subject. So, yeah, that's why we want you to be doing something happy. Please be doing something happy.
Well, I mean, hopefully not too happy or not something you can only do once, because we don't want to ruin it for you. If you are a few footsteps away from the summit of Mount Everest, just turn on some cool mountain climbing music.
Yeah, if your wife is going into labor with your first child at this moment, take your headphones off right now.
Right, why are you wearing headphones? Come on, that's terrible. What we were talking about right now is an event that occurred 100 years ago this week. And just to put us in the mindset, maybe tell a little bit about it as a story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So as near as we can tell, in the modern day, around April 24th, 1915, the Ottoman Empire, which was already in decline, took action. For a while, they had suspected that one of their geopolitical rivals, one of their nemeses, Russia, was using the minority group of Armenian Christians in the empire as a clandestine force to work against the Ottoman Empire. And so they rounded up intellectuals, they rounded up statesmen, people of note, and by the end of this, and this is generally thought when it began, by the end of that time, an estimated 1.5 million Armenians living in the area were dead in brutal ways. I mean, death marches, starvation, degradation, all the terrible things that could occur.
Yeah, there are some pretty horrifying images, even on the Wikipedia page of all places, if you look this event up.
Now, we should say that this event, again, 100 years later, a century later, remains intensely divisive depending on what part of the world you are in. Around 20, maybe more than 20 now, countries have officially signed on to say that what occurred was a genocide.
Mm-hmm.
The many major world powers. Turkey, however, does not describe this as a genocide, and to look at why. What we're finding here is that despite this disagreement, neither side denies that hundreds of thousands of people died. It's more a conversation about whether this was what could be described as a genocide. And interestingly enough, this gives us a look at international relations, plenty of conspiracies, mm-hmm. because both sides believe that there is a conspiracy of some sort of foot behind the claim here. But before we get to all of that today, we need to ask ourselves what a genocide actually is.
Right. According to Raphael Lemkin, who actually coined the term genocide in 1944, the term comes from the Greek genos, or genos, meaning race or kind, and side, C-I-D-E, which it means death. So literally, when you say genocide, you are saying killing a race or tribe.
Right. And as we pointed out in our earlier video on this, the term technically, the way it should be constructed would be genticide, G-E-N-T-I-C-I-D-E. But now genocide is the word we use today to mean this specific kind of crime.
Yeah, and it's not the first word that attempted to describe this occurrence. In the 1790s, there was a word, populicide, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that originated from the French Revolution, the idea of killing an entire, or the attempted killing of an entire population.
Mm-hmm. Right. We also know that Lemkin arrived at this after after trying a couple of different words and ultimately understanding that he had to create something that people would know, people would be able to recognize instantly that wasn't already with something else. And he has a profound story because he worked, he was born in Poland, a lawyer, and he made it his life's work essentially to get this convention on the prevention and punishment of the crime of genocide. He wanted people to, he wanted nations to be able to prosecute this as a crime. And this is, of course, you know, at the close of World War II, mm-hmm. after the Holocaust. So, which was, you know, by no means, no means whatsoever, the only genocide in human history, right?
No, it was just, at this point, someone is actually trying to put a label on it that,
right.
that is truly representative of how horrifying it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that point of having to create a word to represent this horrific act, because there wasn't one. And you could say massacre, you could say all of these other words, mm-hmm. but it wouldn't truly represent trying to wipe out an entire tribe and or race or, you know, group of people in that way.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. There is a difference, because if we look at the way Lemkin defines it, he says there's and don't worry, guys, we're not going to spend too much time just bogged down in the specifics and the semantics.
Well, this is interesting to me. I hope it's interesting to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some of it we have to talk about. So Lemkin keeps the emphasis of genocide on a group or a kind of a people, not necessarily a nation. And there's also intent. That's an important part. Mm-hmm. We have a quotation from him here.
It is intended rather to signify a coordinated plan of different actions aimed at the destruction of essential foundations of the life of national groups with the aim of annihilating the groups themselves.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
So this means that attacking a nation is not really going to be genocide automatically. He later clarified even further, I think in 1946 this occurs, he said that genocide should be known as a conspiracy to exterminate national, religious, or racial groups. So well, several of these things can fit in a box, but it's not a genocide unless the plan is to kill every person in that nation. Mm-hmm. Which you know, legally separates it from a different act of, you know, from a conventional act of war. The UN ultimately picked up on this, but they have a much more long-winded definition. So long, of course, that we refused to read it in our video because mm-hmm. we realized we could just throw it up on the screen. But we've got the quote here. Who wants to take it? You want to handle it or you want me to?
I think you knock it out.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Genocide is defined as any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group, such as killing members of the group, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group, and forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. So we see some terrifying examples in these definitions already, because mm-hmm. we know, you know, the lost generation of Aboriginal children in Australia mm-hmm. sent away from their families, these different schools. In the U.S., when Native American children were sent off to these schools to teach them to assimilate.
Rwanda is a mm-hmm. pretty good example.
Yeah, the Rwanda Hutu Tutsi genocide. We also see that this doesn't necessarily – ending a group does not necessarily mean bussing everybody to a place and shooting them in the head. This could just be a generational thing where, you know, like their children are no longer part of this culture mm-hmm. because you could also kill the culture as well as yeah. the people. So with all that, that's the idea of genocide. And you'll hear people who say, you can find things online where people say that the events in the Ottoman Empire at that time were not a genocide. They argue that there are two different definitions of genocide. There's the one that you or I or Noel, like we, the common people, would recognize. And then there's the more nuanced legal version, which hinges upon intent. So with all that in mind, what happened in Armenia?
So here's the stuff you really need to know about the Armenian Massacre. It's also known as the Armenian Holocaust or Medz Yurgan, the Armenian Genocide, though it's not legally recognized as a genocide. The massacre began April 24th, 1915, about 100 years ago today. We've mentioned that a couple times. It's estimated that the deaths, like we said, range as high as 1.5 million, but that number varies depending on which side you're talking to, and even in certain historical accounts, it may be, I think you said in the video, anywhere from 300,000 all the way up to 1.5 million.
Right, yes. And we see there's an argument here about whether there is a dearth or a lack of primary sources, documentary mm-hmm. evidence. However, we do know that shortly after the 1915 events, this stuff began to appear in the news, right?
Yes. So So the people who are actually doing the killing were Turkish forces at the time, the Ottoman Empire, like you said. The big question here is why? Why did this occur? Why would this happen? And you mentioned at the top that there was some suspicion within the Ottoman Empire that the, let's say, the Russian forces were attempting to somehow use this population against the empire. And that seems to be where it started.
Mm-hmm. Right. And to be fair, this is not an impossible thing. As we had also talked about, of course, one of the comparisons that you can make to clandestine groups, because what they're ultimately arguing, the Ottoman Empire is arguing here, is that Russia was using this population or members of this population as a clandestine force, pretty much a terrorist group, mm-hmm. right? Or at the very least espionage. And they were therefore a proxy. This is occurring today in other countries. You know, Iran has proxies in the Middle East. The U.S. has proxies in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia has proxies in the Middle East. There are proxies in other countries, of course. We know that during the escalation and the occurrence of the Vietnam War, the U.S. engaged Laotian groups to fight, and that itself could be an entire episode.
You're right, it is possible that it was happening, but I don't think it's possible that that number of people or that large of a percentage of a group of people could be working in that way. I'm certain that's not possible.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. Would 1.5 million people be working in a conspiracy?
Even 100,000.
Maybe the idea was more that a small group would motivate we see a lot of coups begin as a move for independence,
yes.
Right?
Catalyst for a movement.
Right, yeah. Maybe it could be something like that. But, here's the thing. Even today, the Turkish government says it's not a genocide. And they're very sensitive about mm-hmm. it. Recently, Pope Francis caused a huge uproar when he described the Armenian events as a genocide, and did so, of course, because there is massive concern about people of the Christian faith in the Middle East at mm-hmm. this time, right? And This was a concern that Turkey will recall an ambassador away from your country if you mention this officially. The U.S. president, and not to get too political, but mm-hmm. these are just the facts, folks. Whichever side of political ideology you fall on, I'm being completely factual when I say that several U.S. presidents and political officials have, while they are running, said they were going to call this thing a genocide, to use the G word.
Yep.
And then when they are elected, they never do.
No.
Or they haven't yet, I guess, is the most fair way to say it. But why is this so sensitive? Turkey says that this is an attempt to attack their identity and history, is I believe the term they use. And maybe that means an attempt to weaken them in the international sphere. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe there would be reparations involved of some mm-hmm. sort. But they also say that the facts themselves have been twisted. Both sides of the group say that. Turkey says it cannot be a genocide because the intent is not there. Right? This is a
yes.
preservation of the state.
Yeah, preservation of the state and believing that they are fighting some kind of guerrilla army or in some way. That's how they're choosing to view it.
Right. And also the argument that the numbers of deaths are wildly inflated, that this is maybe 300,000, not 1.5 million, and that furthermore, both sides were fighting and more Muslims died than Armenian Christians. And it's strange because what we're finding is that although everyone on both sides admits that horrific events occurred, and hundreds of thousands of people died. The question here is hinging on these small differences based on the definition that the UN and Lemkin gave. I was thinking about this earlier, and I'd like to hear your opinion on it, Matt, and you too, Noel. So if we're thinking about atrocities that occurred in World War II, the deployment of nuclear weapons, right?
Mm-hmm.
First and only time that happened. Catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that is still not considered a genocide, right? That's a very, a genocide is a very specific type of crime, but it's also coupled with the internment of Japanese, of American citizens of Japanese descent.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gaginianaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
I would be interested in what the government would put forth as an official statement of intent if they were going to be sought to admit to genocide during those attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bring it up for comparison and perspective. At this point, let's go ahead and talk about the conspiratorial ideas surrounding this, the whole genocide notion. So we've got one idea, which the Turkish government says, which is that this is an attack on Turkish society, essentially.
Yeah, and a tarnishing. They think it's a tarnishing of their history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, Turkey is an enormously influential country in that area of the world right now. It's swinging above its weight class. It's the pivot between Europe and Asia, between the Muslim world, well, what's often called the Muslim world and what's often called the Western world. Mm-hmm. And it's, in many countries' opinion, a good country to be on good terms with.
Yes. And it has historically been that way, that region at least.
Right, the gateway to the East. Mm-hmm. So why would somebody be attacking it then? Would this be a move if what they're saying has any sand to it? Would this be a move to weaken their sovereignty or hegemony?
Perhaps. I unfortunately can't answer that. Hmm. I don't know. I mean, it seems like that's what they perceive it to be. At
cancer
least politically.
Yeah, guys, secret reveal here. In his other job, Matt is actually an attaché to the local Turkish consulate.
Yes. You got me.
And there's another subject here that is very sensitive, to say the least. The country of Israel, formed after World War II, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are just the facts. Still negotiating borders.
Yep.
The official position of Israel is that it neither denies nor confirms whether the Armenian massacres were a genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And for many observers, of course, that seems to be a strange thing,
right?
You know?
Because they experienced at least the worst genocide that I think we can currently cite, unless you maybe go back to treatment of Native Americans in the United States.
You know, that's an interesting question. I'd like to look back further into that. I found some fascinating stuff though about the expansion of Iran and into what I call the stands, you mm-hmm. know, Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, all mm-hmm. those. And the only other country that officially also denies that this was a genocide mm-hmm. during the Ottoman Empire's time is Azerbaijan, mm-hmm. which shares a border with Iran. So how much of these calculations of staying on Turkey's good side are ultimately about the seething, invisible proxy war that is consuming the Middle East?
Yeah, that is a great question.
It's a question that, unfortunately, I don't know the answer to. But what we do know is that regardless of what sort of label people will put on it, at the very minimum, hundreds of thousands of people died. Civilians died. I'm sure there are very many soldiers as well. But, you know, children.
Yes.
Women. The elderly. Regular people died. Muslim as well as Christian. And, this is not actually the first, genocide in the 20th century. There are a couple of other arguable genocides, and if human behavior is any sort of precedent, more of these sorts of events will occur in the future. So,
unfortunately, Ben, I agree with you. More of this will happen in the future. I guess it's what it means to be human. There are dark places that we go to. But yeah, so anyway, all of that being said, this kind of thing, I think, needs to be at least recognized and remembered so that future generations don't forget these terrible things that have happened in our past and could happen if we are not vigilant, to make them stop. That's why I think even giving this type of event a name, such as genocide, is so important. I don't know. It's tough to even talk about this kind of subject, I think.
Right. It reminds me of some of the quotations that we always hear rephrased before, but somehow rarely followed. Those who do not understand the past are doomed to repeat it. But there is a little bit of light at the tunnel. Communications technology is allowing more people to be more transparent than ever before, right? And if, you know, social media gets a bad rap, and often it deserves that, right? But the ability to communicate with one another across the globe could be something that goes a long way toward preventing these kind of things from occurring invisibly. You know what I mean?
Can only hope.
We can only hope.
So if you want to learn more, head on over to howstuffworks.com and check out the article, What Was the First Genocide in the 20th Century?
And as always, thank you so much for listening. For those of you who check out our YouTube series, thanks for sharing that and talking with us in the comments. I actually have to go right now and check out some of the comments on the Gaia hypothesis idea we just released. The concept that Earth itself is one gigantic living superorganism, which is not, spoiler alert, regarded as solid science by its detractors, but such a inspiring, even beautiful idea. So if you would like to suggest something that we should cover in the next few episodes, send us a note on Facebook, tweet to us. We're on both of those as Conspiracy Stuff HSW. You can also check out everything we have ever done on our website, stufftheydontwantyoutoknow.com. And if you want to write to us directly, we have an email address and we'd love to hear from you. We are
conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this topic and other unexplained phenomena, visit youtube.com/conspiracystuff. You can also get in touch on Twitter at the handle @conspiracystuff.
Fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s. Dance away with hip-hop beats and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.